listeners, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. And yes, it's 2 weeks in a row with two midweek miracle episodes. I think I'm on a little bit of a roll. Well, this episode, I'm introducing you to Rebecca Silence, who is a self-healing and relationship expert. But she's so much more than that, as most of us are. She's changing lives, she's redefining family happiness, and she's an award-winning author, coach, and media personality. And Rebecca has a really powerful story. She grew up in an alcoholic and abusive home. And, you know, as with most of us who grew up in homes that are challenging, she thought that the more she stayed silent and took it, the less the abuse would occur. But, you know, she grew out of that home. She grew up. She became an adult. And she just felt that there had to be a better way of being in the world. Instead of being frozen and keeping herself small, Rebecca really felt that there had to be a way to climb out of what she'd been conditioned into. And we talk about that in this podcast episode. So for those of you that are sensitive to the subject of child abuse, to the subject of being harmed when young, there is a trigger warning for this episode. Please take care of your hearts. Now, it's always a good thing to hear from someone who has survived, who is thriving, who's created a life of radiance, of gratitude, of helping others to rise up out of what they've been conditioned into. And really, that's what Rebecca is and what she's doing. She is telling all of us, teaching all of us how to thrive, how to be alive in this world, and how to rise up out of childhoods that may have been challenging. So let's get on in. Let's dig in. Let's dive on in. Here's my interview with Rebecca Silence.
And then I get diagnosed. And the reason I found out was because I was coaching a plastic surgeon and his wife. And they were like, Rebecca, you saved our marriage. You're saving our family. We're so grateful for you. We know we're here for you to help us, but this thing on your arm doesn't look right. Come into the office at 7 a.m. tomorrow and let us take it off. So I go into the office at 7 a.m. the next day. They take this thing and I know nothing about skin cancer. While I was pregnant, it changed, it grew. I didn't know malignant melanoma. So long story short, it had already spread. It was in my lymph nodes. It was the most aggressive melanoma that you could have. How I would introduce myself is I'm the space where all healing is possible. And I'm Rebecca Silence. I'm a self-healing and relationship expert. And to me, healing is freedom and liberation from circumstance. And until you don't need anything or anyone to be different, you're not healed and you're not free and you can be.
Amazing. And I'm ever so curious. I love asking this of some of my guests, but when you were a kid, did you have any clue that this is kind of like what you wanted to be doing later or you would be doing it?
Yes and no. I grew up in a domestic violence home and an addictive, riddled household and family system. And I knew there had to be a better way. And I knew deep down people could be choosing beyond survival. I didn't have those words yet, but I knew we could demand more of ourselves than what was being modeled to me. And I also made a decision really, really young that silence maybe was the answer, but I didn't know how it was going to evolve. I didn't know I was going to become the unsilent woman within. I didn't know I was going to understand trauma, become a human behavior expert, and that understanding trauma, master's degree with a 4.0 GPA wasn't going to be enough I ended up in my own domestic violence marriage, got out with a 2-year-old, and literally married a guy with the last name Silence, broke the silence, found myself, reclaimed my voice and my power and my passion, and created an empire.
Isn't it interesting that, you know, as children, we kind of normalize the situations that we find ourselves in, no matter how acute or scary or dangerous, we normalize it. But then we carry that kind of, I guess you'd say, expectation or normalization into adulthood. So that when we find ourselves, or maybe even we don't find ourselves in situations, we actually, I look for places where I felt comfortable that mirrored my childhood, which were not healthy, were not life-giving, and really found myself in situations where I didn't feel safe in any way, shape, or form. I don't know if you had that experience.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what I want people to know more than anything is that we all have like a survival self and a highest version of ourselves. And the way I describe it is this: we don't wake up one day and know who we are, right? We wake up one day and recognize I'm not living my most fully expressed, high vibration, fun and enjoyable, or the term I love to use is magically delicious life. And you know, what most people don't recognize is we're a vibrational match for survival. And that's why we choose it, even though we know on some level deep down, it could be better or different. We know we can survive survival. We don't know we can survive alignment. And so often we don't know who we are beyond survival. So it's very comforting to live this survival self version of who we are, but it's freaking miserable. You know, and I'll never forget my first class in grad school, personality theories. I did this inventory and it said I was fun. And I was like, I am the least fun person I know. What is this? What do you mean I'm fun? It was like control and fun. And I get chills just thinking back because I was like, I'm not fun. And then I remember milliseconds later, I'm fun and I am a ball, but I didn't know it. You know, I wasn't living it yet. And I didn't know I could survive being fun and fierce and fully expressed. But then I started to realize this silent me isn't me. And what I've seen for countless clients in my private practice, I've been helping people heal since 2002, in private practice since 2008, liberating the unsilent woman within these fierce, gorgeous women in front of me that had somehow along the way lost their voices and just gave at their own expense. Self-betrayal isn't love, isn't leadership, isn't service, right? So what I've seen is that moment we recognize survival and this version of me isn't me, it can be terrifying. And as we let go of survival, it can literally feel like you're dying. But what I want everybody to hear is you're not dying. Your survival self is. And that's the ultimate beautiful positioning for you to reinvent yourself and reclaim your voice and your power and your passion. And it's okay if you don't know who that you is yet. We can find it. We can pull it out because she's in there and nobody's going to die because you turn the volume all the way up on the truth of who you are. Your spirit's going to die if you don't.
To read something from your profile here, which really resonated with me, just because I think it's really interesting. With the best of intentions, she thought the more she took it and stayed silent, that would lessen the abuse. And for me, when I read that, I thought, oh my God. No, I did not grow up in a household like yours. I did not grow up in a place where I thought physical violence was going to be, visited upon me, but I did grow up in a place where a household where it really, as the eldest child, really benefited me to be small and not be noticed and to be very quiet and do everything right and not mess up and be perfect, like be perfect so that it didn't rock that already really tenuous boat that was like so ready to tip over. You know, it's a lifetime of work, working to emerge out of those ways of being that served us. And then, you know, yeah. For different people, what is, you know, not being small anymore looks different for different people. You know, what fits me isn't going to fit another person. But I also think, like, especially for women, we are encouraged to be silent just in general, but also to make ourselves small. And that's a really hard thing to battle against because it's cultural, it's societal.
Well, it's really hard to stay small. It's actually simple, not easy, but simple to break the silence and stop giving a crap about how you're perceived. It's just we don't know and trust that there's nothing to lose by taking up all of the space we possibly can in this one precious life. And your voice is the medicine. And the world can handle it. The right people can handle it. And those who can't. See, what I love to say is, if you can survive survival, you can survive alignment. And all we get from alignment is the information that was already there. And so many of us wait for a crisis or believe mistakenly and innocently we need a breakdown to break through. And I'm the voice that wants you to hear me say, silence is only breeding more toxicity and dysfunction. You trying to stay small and be perfect, and you trying to be who everyone else needs you to be is going to lead you to the land of, when is it my turn? And I'm going to tell you, the more you're small and silent, your turn never comes. Someday isn't coming, right? It is about having the courage and the guts to break the silence so that your life becomes yours again. And I'm telling you, nobody's going to die because you speak up and speak out. And the pushback you're going to get in almost every case, and thousands of women in my private practice that I've coached personally can attest to, all that's going to happen is you're going to find out who your real people are. Because anybody that's like, down, girl, bye. And more people are going to be like, whoa, and maybe they're shaken and it's a negative reaction at first, at least in your eyes. But in so often, what happens is this: people are either going to easily work with you when you reinvent yourself and reclaim your own life. They're going to get mad and get over it, which is almost all the time, or they're going to go away, or you're going to decide it's time to move on. But let the people have their reaction, be human, and then try to figure out how to work with you or give you the information that they're not a vibrational match for the you you are now and where your life is headed. Or let yourself receive. They're like, oh, thank God. Yeah, get it.
Yeah, I've always found it fascinating, you know, with me, but also talking with friends. Some people are in our lives are very vested in the way we were, or the way we were small, or the way we were quiet. They really love that. They love it. And so when you start changing, some people are not super happy about it. That's also another interesting thing to navigate.
Well, yeah. And there is so much more in our relationships than trauma bonding. And the people that don't want you fully expressed and free and powerful, they're interested in trauma bonding. And the next level of relationship is intimacy, where the highest expression of me is connected to the highest expression of you. And what most people are never going to tell you is that relationship is how we know how healed we are, and where there's healing to do. It's easy to be this fully expressed you alone on an island. I had a client once that had heard me on the radio and came into the office, and she was miserable in her marriage and resentful AF with her spouse and with her kids. And she just said, I want to burn it all down. I want to blow it all up, burn it all down, get a house in the woods, screw them. I'm like, well, hold on, because that's easy. That's easy. But what if we reinvent you, give them a chance to catch up, and then decide? We leave relationships way too soon without giving people a chance. And it's easy to be your best on your own. Relationships are for your soul's evolution, and they're where you get to practice being more you and being more you and being more you.
I love that. I love it. Well, the second question I always ask is, did you grow up in a religious household? And mm-hmm. what did that look like? And how did it evolve for you personally over time?
Yeah. So I'll never forget this advanced leadership seminar I took. This was probably 10 and a half years ago. And I had this breakthrough that my body had never betrayed me and that I'd never not had God with me. I call it God, call it whatever you want, you know, divine love and intelligence, universe, source. But it was a wild breakthrough moment because the way I grew up, so abused, it would have been easy to tell myself how alone I was, but I never felt alone. But I didn't until this seminar realize my body had never betrayed me. It had always been with me, and God had always been with me until much, much, much later. But I grew up Catholic, and I am like the good oldest child too, right? You and I have that in common. And I'm sure so many of you listening, right? You're here to be good, to not rock the boat, to serve at the highest levels. That likely is leading you to what I have coined this term, high functioning unhappiness, right? Because you're high functioning and you're serving, but you're not happy. And what I want you to know is we must threaten the not high functioning part of your life, the unhappiness part of your life, if you're really going to be high functioning and of service, right? So for me, I had God with me, and I was a good little Catholic girl, literally an altar girl, literally carrying a candle as big as I was, you know, down, you know, up to the altar every single Sunday, carrying the light, carrying the torch, good little girl. But I didn't have my own personal relationship with God and source, really, until it started with this breakthrough. Wait a minute, God's always been with me, and my body's been with me, and my body is my access point to God. That's what I got. Didn't know that really before this breakthrough moment, which was 2 months before I got diagnosed with cancer and given a 5% chance to live while I was pregnant. And thank freaking God, literally and metaphorically, for that breakthrough right before the diagnosis, because cancer became my ultimate seminar, where I got to meet myself, surrender, and become someone who had access to God only 24/7. And my life has become a co-creation with God ever since. I only had a 5% chance to live, and here I am.
Okay, I mean... you rarely hear of people who discover they have cancer while they are pregnant. How did you even figure out that you had cancer?
Yeah. Well, and that is quite a conversation, because I had no symptoms and my life was like my dream come true. So I had gotten out of the domestic violence marriage, became a single mother that figured it out, with a two-year-old, working three jobs, going bankrupt, foreclosing on the house. I mean, I knew if I left my husband, I was going to be on my own. And I was. He signed his rights away. And it was just me and this beautiful little girl. And I did not know I could do it, but I was unwilling not to figure it out, right? So by the time I got diagnosed with cancer, I thought I had beat my past, because I got married again, I had a thriving business. You know, I was on the radio talking to hundreds of thousands of people every single week. 14 years later, I'm still on the radio in New York doing this, right? But cancer just felt so mean because I felt fine. And I really thought all this achievement meant I had outplayed, you know, beat my past. And then I get diagnosed. And the reason I found out was because I was coaching a plastic surgeon and his wife. And they were like, Rebecca, you saved our marriage. You're saving our family. We're so grateful for you. We know we're here for you to help us. But this thing on your arm doesn't look right. Come into the office at 7 a.m. tomorrow and let us take it off. So I go into the office at 7 a.m. the next day. They take this thing, and I know nothing about skin cancer. I was 34 years old. There's no family history of cancer. There's no symptoms going on in me. There is this little mole on my arm that I had already asked my primary doctor to refer me to a dermatologist about, and he said, no, we'd watch and wait. While I was pregnant, it changed. It grew. I didn't know malignant melanoma is like cells that are, it's like a glacier, you know, like you only see above the surface and then there's all this. So long story short, it had already spread. It was in my lymph nodes. It was the most aggressive melanoma that you could have, but they couldn't stage me officially until the baby was out. And it was a ride, but that's how I found out.
Oh my God. So they couldn't tell you what stage you were
until the baby was out.
Now, why is that?
Because they inject radioactive dye into your system to stage you. So they can't do that while there's a baby, and they can't do the scans. And to your point, they don't really know what to do with a young, seemingly healthy woman who's pregnant when it comes to cancer, you know? So I had this major surgery. The cancer was on my arm here. So they cut from my elbow, you know, all the way up to my shoulder, down to the bone, took all these margins, and then took the baby out when I was 38 weeks pregnant. And 3 weeks later, did the staging of testing my lymph nodes, found cancer immediately. 2 weeks later, took all my lymph nodes. I've had 21 surgeries, and it was a ride. And my body never had time to heal from one surgery to the next. Then we started chemo, which that's a whole other Oprah, because the chemo, thank God for my ability to have a healed relationship with my body so I could access divine guidance. Because without that, I ended up quitting chemo, all against medical advice, because I ended up with drop foot. All the nerves were dying down my right leg, and I literally couldn't use my leg. And I lost the arch in my foot. My toes were pointed like a ballerina with no arch. You couldn't move my foot. The first physical therapist that I saw said, you're like a kid with cerebral palsy. You're never going to be able to walk again. So I fired her. But you know, and I would never suggest to anybody listening, quit chemo if you have cancer. But what I want you to hear from my story is, A, high-functioning unhappiness is not meant to be your life. You silent is not meant to be your life. And your ability to access your own spirit and the highest version of you and source whatever that is for you means you never have to figure anything out ever again. You never have to feel stress or pressure ever again. And you can trust yourself when you're connected to your own spirit and divine guidance. And I trusted myself and I followed the guidance, and I really wasn't experiencing trauma while I went through cancer, because the healed me was in charge of the mission called my life by the time I got diagnosed with cancer. And I would have never graduated myself from alignment not mattering, achievement mattering, if I hadn't gone through it. And so I just don't want people to wait for a breakdown or a crisis to break through. And I want you to know alignment is everything.
What I think is spectacularly fabulous about this really powerful story is that just 2 months before you're at this, you know, meeting with what, hundreds or thousands of people all around you?
Oh, there were only about 30 of us. This was a super intimate leadership retreat. Yes.
Okay.
I was 5 months pregnant when that happened. The diagnosis was at 7 months pregnant.
Okay. And so you have this revelation, right? And where you have intense gratitude, you know, to God, also to your body, this kind of just appreciation and deep reverence for it. And then it's almost like 2 months later, it's like, okay, let's see how serious you are about this appreciation of reverence.
Exactly. That's exactly how it went down.
I mean, one of the things that I think is most insidious as human beings is negative self-talk, because I'm sure most of us are doing it completely unconsciously, and it's a learned behavior from childhood, whether it was a teacher who said, like I had a guest on where one of my guests was, she's now like an artist that's in international galleries and right. But when she was about, I think in 7 years old, a teacher told her, you're terrible at art. You're a bad artist. So she dropped it all and she didn't start it again until, oh my God, decades later. And now look where she is. And I think as kids, we internalize these things that adults say to us, you know, oh, you're stupid. Oh, you're never going to go anywhere. Or you make too many mistakes, or you look ugly in that shirt. And in it, they just kind of become these stories we tell ourselves. But it's also a slippery slope, because once you start saying one thing about yourself, oh, there's a few other adjectives that might want to sneak in, or other things we like to think about ourselves, and just changing our mindset around how we talk to ourselves and appreciate ourselves and have gratitude for ourselves can change everything, I think.
Absolutely. Amen, amen, amen. But it's so much more than what's going on in between your ears. And the problem with traditional therapy is it's trying to help you heal your emotions through your mind. And I am a therapist. I'm a trained therapist. But I've also just, I think, revolutionized how to actually heal in a empowering way. And we can't think about things differently and think that's enough to feel differently. And self-talk and self-appreciation, yes, it's so important, but you're not going to get to the real self-talk that's going to change the game or the ability to genuinely appreciate yourself if you're just doing mindset and strategy work and traditional therapy, quite frankly. I'm not saying there aren't great therapists out there, but they're few and far between. It's about getting beyond the mind, connecting to your heart so that you know how you feel and what the gap is between how you're feeling compared to how you want to feel. And from there, you can connect to your body, which will tell you what you need. And from there, you can connect to your spirit, which will tell you what you want.
I love all that. Do you ever like look back and think about your past self and think, oh my goodness, if I could tell her, you know, 20 years ago that she would be in this place now. I mean, do you think that, you know, yourself 20 years ago would be surprised or?
Oh, do you remember those Got Milk commercials that the little kid would look up at like the older kid? You know, some of you listening might be too young to remember this, but I remember watching these Got Milk commercials and being like, oh, I wonder who I'm going to be. But I just know little Rebecca would never have been able to fathom life today and this version of me today. But, you know, I've been 1,000 different women in this lifetime. And I say it all the time. I feel like I've had multiple lifetimes in this one lifetime. And I'm about to turn 44. Like, we're only getting started. I'm just now about to hit the 10-year anniversary from the initial diagnosis. And, you know, it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I was really well. And it really wasn't until 2024 that I feel really well. It's been a journey to heal through all of the side effects from chemo and all of the hormone crashes and all of the things that I went through. But, you know, little me is just in awe already. But if this me could talk to little me, it would just be saying what I'm saying to all of you already today. Like, break the silence, become the unsilent woman unapologetically, and you're never going to be threatened again. And you have nothing to prove and nothing to fear. I would also tell her that. Nothing to prove.
I love that nothing to prove, because I honestly feel like in our society and culture that it's this endless, like, oh, there's another hurdle. Jump over it. Oh, there's another hurdle. And maybe it's just a tiny bit higher this time. Jump over that one now. Like, it's never enough. It's
never. Life's going to keep being life, right? So that's what cancer taught me, was like, life's going to go my way. And then life isn't going to go my way, but I get to be me through it all. And there's never a good reason, right, to try to be anybody else, to try to manipulate an outcome. Just be even more me in the moments I don't want to, right? And people can handle it. You know, I think about this client I have who's a financial advisor. And she was drawn to the fun, playful way I am. And she knew my story. And she's like, how are you, you? We met in a mastermind. And you've been through all this. And she was very much believing that she was this type A, analytical financial advisor. But she had an inner artist in her and a vibrance in her. So we just reinvented, not from scratch, her life, but we let go of who she was and enrolled her company and her husband and her kids to go have a month in Spain working remotely, like her own month long sabbatical. She didn't have to leave the job. She didn't have to leave the marriage. And her kids got to watch her metamorphosize in front of their eyes. Like, what more important, gorgeous gift could you give the real people in your life that love you than watching you emerge as the fully expressed version of you? I don't know a greater gift.
Well, and what a way to model for her children. Self-care, self-expression, believing in something bigger and going on the adventure. I mean, we need more parents like that, especially the self-care part. So, yeah.
Amen. And my ultimate dream is to break the silence in families and for kids to have healed parents. But I'm just going to say, it starts with the woman in the family giving herself permission to turn the volume all the way up on who she is. And if you don't know yet what you want, no problem. It's enough to know what you don't want anymore. And you can just write it down. Here's what I don't want anymore. What, guess if you have to, what would I want instead? And then here's another hack. If you don't know what you want, what do you want for everybody else? Because that's what you want for you.
Yes, I love that. So true. So true. Thank you. I feel like I want to dance around now. You're making me feel like I want to dance. And you are fun. You are F-U-N, just to let you know. F-U-N.
Thank you.
Well, you know, we talked maybe a little bit earlier, but, you know, the main question of the podcast is, I would love for you to share a story or stories where you feel like you witnessed something miraculous, something magical, maybe even something mysterious that you couldn't understand at the time. I'd love to hear any stories that you'd like to share.
Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to share this story. You already know my cancer story, which is like the biggest miracle ever, to have access to God no matter what. I feel like I'm business partners with God for the rest of my life, you know, and I'm just here on divine assignment now. So it's all frosting. So, you know, that miracle story, I don't know what better story there is. But I had a couple. I just feel led to share this story because it was phenomenal to just watch this miracle unfold. I got a call from one client who's a lawyer saying he had a client that just was arrested for beating up his fiance. And the 10-year-old twins watched it, had to call 911, and the mom was unconscious. So let me tell you why I think this is such a miracle story. This guy ended up doing private work with me to heal through his own sexual abuse in foster care that never got dealt with. And what nobody tells us about the anatomy of an abuse cycle is when there's abuse, I don't care what kind it is, mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, sexual, financial, we could go on, right? But the person who was abusing got abused and decided to never be a victim again. The victim who on repeat keeps experiencing abuse decided they were never going to be the one to do harm. So if we don't realize, if nobody tells us there's a third option called healed, now I'm just constantly the victim or constantly the perp. And in both cases, that's where your self-talk and lack of self-appreciation that's so toxic plays out, because I don't want to, I'm not a victim and I freaking know it, right? And I'm not this person who's willing to do harm. I've never met a perpetrator who was cool being a perp. And I've never met a victim who was like, yep, this is awesome, right? So long story short, in this case, this guy had unhealed trauma, hated himself, was numbing out with alcohol, blacking out, never had dealt with it. We separated the family. He was not allowed to go back home until we'd done a year of intensive work. And then we brought them back together, basically. So she had her own healing work to do from her own trauma from a very young age. He had his healing work to do. I got to work with each of them separate. I got to work with the kids separate. I got to work with the whole family together. They came together. The couple ended up getting married. They're still together to this day. And this family that any other therapist would have been like, no way we are allowing this couple to stay together. They did the work, came back to life individually, broke generational trauma cycles, and the family's intact and they're freaking thriving years later. And that was one of my favorite stories because A, I love helping families heal, and I want kids to have healed parents. But that case was the case I really realized I was ready to help the world heal, anybody that wanted it, because I had never coached a perp at that level. And I was so happy to and okay the whole time coaching the abuser. And it was just the moment I knew I could probably heal any case.
And also what I think is, you know, everyone should understand is that you obviously had done your very, very, very deep work to be able to be present to him in a way that was authentic and grounded, which is not easy. I mean, you want to talk, I mean, the work that you had to do was, I mean, I'm sure it felt like you were wallowing in maybe swamps some days.
That case was Everest. Right. And then instead of trying to get the family to climb Mount Everest, we just moved the mountain. But it took time. Yeah. And it was wild to be able to be so okay. And I think this is something that keeps people stuck and toxic innocently and unnecessarily, is we think, well, if I forgive, now I made the unacceptable acceptable. But no. We're not making the unacceptable acceptable. We're being the best of ourselves no matter what. Two very different things.
Yeah. Yes. 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 And also, you know, people heal at different rates. And it's also not one size fits all. I mean, different things are going to work for different people.
In my private practice, there's a personalized approach, right, that is so fabulous. But there really are tried and true must-know secrets and steps that you can do to find your way. But yes, I am not the coach that says, here's the way. I'm the coach that says, let's help you find your way. Because there's not a right or a wrong way to lead, love, live, but there is a right or a wrong way for you. And if it's off, it's wrong direction. And so many of us stop there because we don't know what the right direction would be. And that's where I'm telling you, get your hands on my book, DM me if you're interested in private work. It's so powerful to have your life truly be yours, and it can be.
Yeah. I always, and you have to know, I love maps. Okay. So your analogy of a map makes me really happy. I love looking at maps. I love old maps. I love it when movies have a treasure map.
Yes.
And then they show it, because you know that once a map is involved, there's going to be an adventure.
I love that. Can I use that line?
Yes.
Well, and why not make your healing and your right to self-liberation an adventure?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always think, you have to know, I'm pretty old. So I love the movie Goonies, because I saw it when I was a kid.
I love it.
And so, you know, they find this treasure map hidden behind this old, like, framed print. And no, it, you know, Chunk breaks it. The map comes out and they're like, oh my God, where did this come from? Like, what's happening? But, you know, through, obviously there are lots of hijinks and trials and tribulations, and they're being chased by, you know, the quote unquote bad guys. And who knows if they're going to make it. But at the end, of course, our heroes come out triumphant and they find that treasure, you know, they find it and they get it and they get to save the Goondocks. And so I just, you know, maps. I love that your book is a map, because I think that is just the invitation to healing and adventure. I think that's the best thing. That's amazing. I love it.
Your life should be yours. Yeah. I'm so honored to have been able to boil down this is everything you need. It really is.
Yeah. And there's treasure at the end. All right, dear listeners, I hope you appreciated meeting Rebecca and hearing her story, one of tragedy, which ultimately results in triumph. I think we need to hear stories from people who have survived, people who are thriving now, people who are making the world their own. Rebecca is certainly an example of what bravery looks like, what steadfastness looks like, and what it looks like to never give up on yourself. And let's not forget that she's an author as well. We talked about it a little bit in the episode, but her book, Coming Back to Life, A Roadmap to Healing from Pain to Create the Life You Want. Well, there will be a link in the show notes so you can check it out and buy your own copy. As I said in the interview, I love maps. I love following maps, and I love having the adventure that maps kind of urge us to go on. So I think it would be really good for each and every one of us to check this book out. Check out Rebecca, because there will be a link in the show notes to her website as well. She's kind of unstoppable. And for me, she models being out in the world with integrity, authenticity, and grace. And here's your weekly reminder about the YouTube channel. Please do. If you want to see my guests in real life, if you want to see them tell their own miracle stories, head on over to the YouTube channel and take a gander. And remember, ratings and reviews are where it's at. So wherever you listen to the podcast, please do consider leaving a little rating or writing a little review. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Rebecca. Be bold in this life. Be brave in this life. Let your light shine. Rebecca is out there blazing a trail for all of us to follow, to inhabit this life with our large selves, to do it without shame, to be brave in this world without being scared, to really show others who we are. Give yourself permission like Rebecca. I want to see all your bright, shining faces, all the lights that are within you. I want to see them blazing brightly, shining out a way and shining out a path that all of us, and that means all of us, can follow.